72nd year of serving Southeast Ohio. AM 970 and 97.1 FM.
WATH Evans.
Well, in case you missed it, the announcer was saying 72nd years. We've 72 years we've been doing this. And in about a month and a half, we'll be able to say 73. Well, I guess it's a little longer than that. October 15th. That was the first date we went on the air. Hey, good morning. It's the Party Line on the Leader 970 WATH. Well, Scott's here, I'm here, and good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Yes, that was a pretty nice feline sound you made there for the sponsor for the Art Turf Show.
Me?
Yeah. Wasn't that you, or was there real a cat up there?
That was Bree.
It was who?
Bree. She's down there. Over behind the cabinet.
Hi, Katie.
There you go. See? Okay. August 2nd it is, folks. Hard to imagine it's a whole new month. And today they're already the second day of it. See, I had a thought a moment ago and it just escaped me. We got off track for a moment. Well, it'll pop back in later on. Today is National Coloring Book Day, National Ice Cream Sandwich Day, and National Night Out Day.
Hey, you can do that today, or tonight, and tomorrow night for your gathering, your Wednesday night gathering.
Yeah. Tonight, I like to eat out, and I like company. And sometimes I feel like I'm even imposing on people, asking them, you want to go? You know, that sort of thing. But there's a couple each week, a couple of gatherings that are regulars. And I don't feel like I'm imposing because they've been doing it for years.
Well, you never know. Maybe they enjoy it too.
Well, yeah.
Maybe they have the thought of, you know, wonder if he'd like to go tonight.
We do have a caller that I grabbed a moment ago. I saw the phone flashing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to say that Carl Blaylock has done an excellent job in the place of the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who must be on vacation.
He had something out of town. That's all I know. I can't recall the circumstance.
Yeah, I think he'll be back Monday.
Okay.
He's done that. Anyway, Carl is going places in his life. You can just tell he tackles new assignments with vigor, I think.
I'll just tell you this. He has the loudest voice I've ever heard.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean talking in a regular sense, just like you and I are right now. If he'd be standing in the room talking, it would sound like this.
Yes. And I just wanted to let you know the temperature is.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got
a radio voice.
He has this really loud, punching voice.
You should see the VU meter needles in here on the soundboard when he does the sports. They just about jump out of their little windows.
And then you got somebody else doing sports this week that seems to be doing a good job, too.
Yeah, I think he's having a few of his friends from that show. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, Barry, but on WOUB TV, they have the show Gridiron Glory.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday night and then again Saturday morning, rebroadcast. I think those are some of the guys that are on that show that I think he's just doing maybe on a rotating basis, just to give them a little taste of radio, I think.
Yeah.
It's great. I also wanted to say something else great happened last night. Jim Bohannon came back. I guess he must have slated August 1st as the day back, and he's excellent again. I'm so glad he's back.
Well, okay, I'm completely lost now.
At 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock at night, you have
okay,
Jim
but
Bohannon it, show, and they've been having nothing but substitutes.
Yeah.
But the old man's back now.
And the substitutes because he was going to be retiring, or what?
Well, I don't know that part. I think people say, I think you're recovering or something. I think something may have happened.
Oh.
And I didn't catch that part. There were some parts that I wasn't listening, but...
Well, okay.
And in the morning, you do have a new show that's called America in the Morning or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was good. I was hearing the same voices as I heard on the First Light show. I think that woman's voice sounds familiar and some others.
Yeah, I don't know.
But everything's
I used to know all that stuff and made the decisions, and now I... Trust Krista and Scott and others to work on it.
Does that mean you got somebody for Saturday morning now? Keep Tim happy.
Scott, so in lieu of who? What show was it previously?
I don't remember either.
I don't.
You mean, are you talking about First Light?
Oh, yes.
No. The 7 o'clock show on Saturday morning or 8 o'clock show.
Oh, Dick Bartley's Class A Countdown.
Yeah.
I think from the last I heard, Krista's still perusing through options.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what happened.
It's going to happen. Dick Bartley retired.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, I was hearing WLS for the longest time on your station.
Well, they're cool.
Huh? WLW.
Okay. Well,
Cincinnati thing.
I like WLS. But anyway.
I'm glad I don't live in Cincinnati because they gave some local news at one point. There was this stabbing here or this murder there. Or
yeah.
A car went over a thing there. And,
yeah.
You know, I said, boy, I'm glad that I'm back in small town Athens because I forgot that's the kind of news you hear a lot of times in these big cities.
Yeah. Say this is like Columbus news.
We'll get an ice cream sandwich today.
There's like a shooting every night in Columbus now, or every day. If you watch, well, I know you don't, Barry,
any
but
city.
Channel 4, 6, and 10.
Yes, I know. It's just awful.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, every newscast, it seems like, you know, they were live at some bar last night that some people started shooting. Two were killed, three were injured.
Right. It's one reason we like Athens.
Well, it appears to be a lot safer in that regard.
What were you saying about a sandwich, Dave?
Oh.
You need an ice cream sandwich today.
Oh, is that what?
That's one of the things today.
Okay, well, I'll let you get back to the rest of the list.
Okay.
But thanks for getting Bohannon back on.
I had nothing to do with it, but I'll try to spread the word.
But it's amazing what a great job he does. You know, he does have his viewpoints against Biden, and he's hoping things like inflation and other things will do the Democrats in. And by the way, go vote today too.
Yes, indeed.
It's a
Thank you.
A second primary, and there's probably no one there, so you better go cheer up the people that are poll workers.
I got you. My list today.
Mine too.
Good. Bye-bye, folks.
Bye-bye.
See you, Barry.
Okay.
Folks, there is an election today.
I think maybe your thought when you were thinking about something might have been of National Night Out, or maybe one of the lists, one of the things on the list there when you said it would come back to you. Because we were talking about that before we went to the kitty being in here. I think.
Bree, come here. Bree, Come here.
Yeah.
Come here. Come here.
Kitty?
Bree's not fond of the mic being open.
She's shy.
All right. Let's see here.
Favorite ice cream sandwich of yours?
I think anything. I do like ice cream, and I like it with not just standalone typically. I like it with, you know, the something else with it.
Yeah.
All right. Al Zawahiri. This is a huge story, folks. Ayman al-Zawahiri, the current leader of the Al-Qaeda, was killed yesterday. It occurred through as a result of a U.S. Led drone strike. And I certainly hope you know the name. He was one of the world's most wanted men. He's been on the FBI most wanted list for years, and other similar things from other nations. He was one of Osama bin Laden's top deputies. They say he was a key architect of the 9/11 attacks. And when bin Laden died, al-Zawahiri assumed control of the Al-Qaeda. This is a big story. So let's see here. Let me do a little bit more. It says, between bin Laden and al-Zawahiri, as one of funder and strategist. Funder. Okay, so economics and strategy. With al-Zawahiri leading the planning of the group's operations, while bin Laden played a public-facing role. So they say even during bin Laden's era, al-Zawahiri was prominently figuring in all of the terrible things they did. Now, reports suggest this operation, this drone that killed him, was carried out by the CIA in Afghanistan. Actually in Kabul, which is the capital of Afghanistan. And it comes basically just under 1 year since the U.S. withdrew forces from that country. By the way, al-Zawahiri had a $25 million bounty offered by the U.S. government. There has been no word yet as to whether it's been paid out, but we'll know something in the next few days, I'm sure. This is a big story. And as it was announced yesterday, I think, 3 o'clock or so in the afternoon, all the TV networks, and here too through CBS and all, we aired a few special moments of programming announcing it. It's a huge story. Well, what else is going on? Let's see. Let's get back to our normal stuff as we start out the day. I already told you today is this, today is that. Now let's do the historical stuff. On this date in 1776 occurred the formal signing of the U.S. Declaration of Independence by 56 people. Now, there is a little bit of, what would you call it? Debate about whether it did happen today, or maybe a few of the signatures were the day before or the day after, but this is the date most accepted by modern historians. On this date, the Declaration of Independence was signed. 1776, of course. In 1790, the first U.S. census was conducted. What do you think the population of the nation was?
What year was it?
1790.
297,321.
297,000. Okay. You were only off by
a million?
Well, more. Okay, the population of the U.S. in 1790 was 3,939,000, so just shy of 4 million people. They add here that it included 697,000 slaves. That's interesting. At least to me it is. We do have another caller. Let's let them have their chance. Good morning.
Morning. You had the big story of the day, the one with taking out the one of the main characters, if not even the main planner, of 9/11 attacks. Nothing goes on, as I understand it, in Pakistan without the current government knowing, and it's been hinted at, if not actually the reality, that the Afghan government knew he was there and protected him. And we didn't go through that government, you know, taking the rights away from young girls to go to school and women to practice if they're trained as doctors and what have you. So the UN indicated, at least I heard on national news, that they may pull aid from there. That's going to punish the people, of course, because any aid that goes through there is funneled to all of the bigwigs in this Taliban-run government, if you want to call it government, because they're killing people as well, you know, if you don't adhere to their views of women. And all I keep remembering is every time I think of Afghanistan, I think of those blue outfits that the women were forced to wear, covering their faces with a little masky thing in the front, and buried up to their heads in a desert to die.
Well, there are, I don't know why I'm saying this. Yes, that's true. But don't automatically assume when you see someone masked like that or wearing those kind of clothes that they're only from that nation. There are many nations that the women dress in that manner.
And that I understand. But they're forced to go back to that.
Yes.
Many women who chose not to, especially professional women.
I get it.
And you're right. All throughout Africa, you see the same thing. But Africa still has many. Boko Haram, for example, still exist in Africa, and they've taken in, I don't think that we ever found those 300 children, and many of them forced into marriage, wearing those things, whatever it is. In Africa, they seem to be very colorful things they're wearing, but the bottom line is the UN may pull money from there. The money is not reaching the people. The money is going into the pockets of the evil ones who are running the government. They're so-called running the government. They don't know how in the hell to run a government if their life depended on it. And their life may depend upon it. But it's a sad state of affairs that we think we sort of have moved away from Afghanistan, but nothing has really changed since before we even went there, because it's all returned back to, what was there, two decades that the women were trained and could go without the things on their head. You and I wouldn't like to wear those.
Right.
I mean, it's already hot there. Can you imagine having to have someone you cared about wear those?
Yeah.
There's the ones, too, without the face coverings, of course, but...
There's a one of those entertainment programs on TV. I think it's called... It's about international romances.
Oh.
It's on the same... on Channel 12. Is that called the Learning Channel, TLC?
Yeah, I think it is.
Anyway, the 30-Day Fiancé, I think is what it's called.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, anyway. But there's some women who are wearing those kind of scarves. Scarf is the term I'll use.
Hijabs.
Okay. But they're preparing to marry an American man or something else like that. And it's kind of an interesting thing. But there's a couple on there, and they're simply beautiful women. Anyway.
There are. And of course, if a woman is raped, they often kill her. They call them, justifiable killers, killings of women who had no consent in being raped, obviously, but they will kill them because they are no longer how they should be viewed by these men. And as you know, there's no women in power to do anything, even if they were trained people to teach and what have you. They are sneaking around, which is, they could get them killed, but they are still teaching children, young girls and so on in the homes. But and a lot of people who have escaped from there are glad they're not there. They miss their country, they miss their relatives, but they're not missing that. And what they're doing is siphoning off an intelligence, a valued trait, I think, in people. And these are just dumb, I want to almost say a not appropriate word. These are not very intelligent people running this country, if they think they're running this country. Anyway, I thank you very much, but...
Wait a minute, I got to make sure I understood what you said. Which country are we talking about?
We're talking about Afghanistan.
Okay. Just making sure.
there was a National Geographic some decades ago with a woman on the cover, and that underscores what you're talking about. And she was just a regular person in the lower income and all of that. But she had the most piercing blue eyes. You may remember that particular, that's one of the highlights of National Geographic. She was on the front of it, and they were talking about Afghanistan and one of the poorest countries in the world, but in that kind of just a very haunting look. But there were many beautiful women in many of these countries, but that should not be shared with anyone else. So, you would probably be told to turn your eyes if you wanted to look at them.
I get it.
So I thank you very much, and thanks for always sharing with, how you're doing and things like that, because we the community, not just your neighbors, but we in the community care about how you're doing, so thanks for sharing with us.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
You
bet.
Bye-bye. Let's see. I think I mentioned a while ago, it's August 2nd. That's right, already the second day of the month of August. Going on with some of the historical things that happen on this date. In 1832, the Battle of Bad Axe. In Wisconsin, as I recall. 1300 Illinois militia defeats Sauk and Fox Native Americans, ending the Black Hawk War here in the U.S. 1832. 1858, the government of India transferred from East India Company to the British Crown. Then we jump way ahead to recent 2018, Apple becomes the first American public listed company to reach $1 trillion in value. I hadn't known that. That's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Okay, let's see. Famous birthdays. Well, I'll try to do this one. Friedrich Auguste Bartholdi. That made it tough for you.
Yes, it did.
Last name, Bartholdi. He was born in 1834 on this date. He died in 1904. 1904 was the year my dad was born. Anyway, Friedrich Auguste Bartholdi.
He was a French sculptor and painter. He is best, excuse me, known for designing Liberty Enlightening the World, commonly known in the United States as the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, cool.
He designed her.
Okay, Myrna Loy, actress, right? 1905 she was born. She died in 1905 on this date she was born. And she died in 1993.
Myrna Loy was an American film, television, and stage actress. Trained as a dancer, Loy devoted herself fully to an acting career, following a few minor roles in silent film. Some of her movies include, from 1934, The Thin Man, from 1946, The Best Years of Our Lives, yeah. 1936, After the Thin Man, and 1941, Shadow of the Thin Man.
Seems like she was stuck in a role there.
Of the Thin Man, yeah. The trilogy of movies there.
Okay, next, born on this date in 1924, James Baldwin. And then he died in 1987. James Baldwin.
James Baldwin is coming up here as we speak.
Yeah.
James Arthur Baldwin was an American writer and activist. As a writer, he garnered acclaim across various mediums, including essays, novels, plays, and poems. Some of his books include Giovanni's Room from 1956, 1963's The Fire Next Time, from 1952, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and from 1974, If Beale Street Could Talk, and those are some of his works.
Right. Now, the last one that we have in the way of famous birthdays, Pierre Charles Lafont. I used to work on Lafont Plaza in Washington, D.C.
Pierre Peter Charles Lafont.
He was born on this date in 1754. He died in 1825.
He was a French-American military engineer who designed the basic plan for Washington, D.C., known today as the Lafont Plan.
And WOUB, of course, is a member of PBS, right?
Yes.
Public Broadcasting System?
Yes.
Their headquarters is on Lafont Plaza.
Lafont.
I've been in there many times. All right, how about a couple famous deaths? We've got two here to mention, I guess. Okay. Well, anyway, the first one is Alexander Graham Bell. Hand me the telephone, would you?
Yes. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Okay.
Hello, Watson.
He was born in 1847. He died on this date in 1922. Alexander Graham Bell.
Was that the conversation with Watson? Is that his name?
I don't know.
Watson, are you there? Alexander Graham Bell was a Scottish-born inventor, scientist and engineer who is credited with patenting the first practical telephone. He also co-founded the American Telephone and Telegraph Company in 1885. Yeah. What else did he invent, you may ask?
What else did he invent, I have asked?
He developed several sonic technologies, including the photophone in 1880. So does that mean you could take pictures with your phone clear back in 1880?
Golly, I don't
know. Like we can today with cell phones?
Huh.
And the graphophone in 1886. He also developed medical technology.
And the last today is Warren G. Harding.
Former U.S. president.
And Ohio.
Yes.
He was born on this date. I'm sorry, that's not true. He was born in 1865, but he died on this date in 1923. I've been to the Harding Memorial up there in, is it Marion?
Yes.
I think so.
It is. Warren Gamaliel Harding was the 29th president of the United States, serving from 1921 until his death in 1923, only 2 years. A member of the Republican Party, he was one of the most popular sitting U.S. presidents. And he was born in Blooming Grove, Ohio, and passed in San Francisco, California. He was educated at Ohio Central College.
Which was where?
Let's just find out here. Ohio Central College, initially known as Iberia College, was a college located in Iberia, Ohio, in northwestern Morrow County during the second half of the 19th century. Now, where is Morrow County?
I was going to say, put a city to Morrow County.
Let's see. Well, Iberia, Ohio is one.
No.
That doesn't help
no.
me any. I don't know about you.
No.
But let's see. We're getting there. 50 miles north of Columbus, Ohio.
Oh. Okay. Is there a college still there?
I think it is just still called that. I think it's still just called that.
Which was?
It's at Ohio Central College. Okay. I have not heard of that.
I haven't either.
So it was originally the United Presbyterian Presbytery of Mansfield. They changed the name to Ohio Central College, and they eventually transferred the college to a group organized as an independent stock company. Let's see. It is not there. The records and alumni of Ohio Central College were assumed by Muskingum College.
Oh. Well, the U.S. House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, is expected to arrive tonight in Taiwan during her tour of Asia, despite warnings from China and the Biden administration, viewing the trip as a provocation. China warned it would take action if the visit goes through. How would you like to be on a trip and know that's happening?
probably not. That was probably ill-advised. Well, it was ill-advised by the president.
Yeah. The trip would be the most high-profile visit by a U.S. official to Taiwan since 1997. Now, they go on to say, though Taiwan is not listed on the official itinerary. Huh. Okay. Anyway, the news comes a week after President Joe Biden told China that the U.S. position on Taiwan remains unchanged. The island nation broke away from China's communist revolution. Beijing views Taiwan as under its control, while Taiwan maintains it is a sovereign nation. The U.S. has long supported Taiwan's independence, but has adopted a neutral stance on the question of its sovereignty. Let's see here. China has scheduled military exercises. This is all part of another thing that Nancy Pelosi is going to be taking in. She's going to be visiting China on the anniversary of the founding of China's People's Liberation Army. Okay, I don't know why some of these stories get as big as they do, but Deshaun Watson. He's a Cleveland Browns player, right?
Yes.
Quarterback, maybe?
Yes.
He has been suspended for 6 games. This occurred yesterday. For violating the NFL's personal conduct policies. He has been accused of sexual misconduct during massage treatments by at least 24 women, allegations he has denied. Oh dear. Watson will keep his 5-year, $230 million contract minus 6 game checks. And will be required to use only club-approved massage therapists in authorized venues. Oh, dear. Well, we really needed to know about that, I guess.
Yeah, some people are... a lot of sports media outlets expected the suspension to be a lot worse than what he got.
Yeah.
6 games. Is that what it was?
Yes.
So, anyway... figures out, divides out into 1/4 of a football game suspension for each of the complaints, which to me, I think he got off pretty lightly.
Excuse me.
A lot of sports outlets are saying the same thing.
I shouldn't ask you a personal question, but...
Okay, don't then.
But I'll add my 2 cents.
Okay. I may answer with my go-to answer.
Do you think Putin's cool or not? Vladimir Putin.
Boy, that's a loaded question. The craziness he's doing right now?
Okay, so you just said it.
Innocent people are dying there.
Yes. Vladimir Putin has traveled outside the boundaries of the former Soviet Union only twice this year. Once was in February to visit China, and once was to visit Iran, which was last month. Those two countries obviously have something in common. Like Russia, both China and Iran view the U.S. as an adversary. If the world is breaking into 2 complete blocks, and we would be saying democracy versus autocracy. Did I say that right?
Good enough. Autocracy.
Okay. Autocracy, thank you. Those being the 2 blocks. As President Biden has put it, Russia, China, and Iran make up the core of the anti-U.S. bloc, and they recently seem to be increasing their cooperation. Their closer ties raise an alarming prospect. What if all three countries decide to confront the U.S. simultaneously sometime soon in an effort to overwhelm the American ability to respond? As you know, Russia has already invaded the Ukraine and has the ability to expand its attack to new parts of the country. Iran has so far refused to re-enter the nuclear pact that Donald Trump canceled and could at some point take steps to build a nuclear weapon. China has become more aggressive toward Taiwan, and U.S. officials have grown concerned about the possibility of an invasion in coming years. There's reason to think that this is plausible. And our system can barely manage one conflict at a time. So, the focus this week has turned to Taiwan. And Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, may soon stop there as part of her current tour of Asia, which would make her the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit the island in years. Let's see. I think Newt Gingrich might have been the last. No. Let's see here. Newt Gingrich visited in 1997 when he was Speaker. And then they go on to say Alex Azar, who was Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services, went in 2020. Well, Chinese officials have reacted angrily to Pelosi's planned visit, which underscores China's new aggression toward Taiwan. China's president seemed to be referring to her last week when he told Biden that the U.S. should not play with fire. Some U.S. intelligence officials believe that China may send fighter jets to escort Pelosi's plane as it approaches Taiwan or take steps in coming weeks to damage Taiwan's economy. This is kind of a dicey thing.
Slightly. And China has said that if she does it, then the U.S. will pay a price. What that is, they did not elaborate.
The death count down in Kentucky from the flooding now is at 37. And I hate to mention it, but more rain is on its way now. Wow. Some of the pictures I've seen of that just boggle my mind.
Oh, yeah. Heartbreaking.
I have reached out to some of my friends in Kentucky, and only a few of them have personally experienced the flooding. The cities that I know best and have spent the most time in, which are smaller cities typically. Well, I spent some time in Louisville. I had 6 months there in the service. But anyway, it seems that the people I know, for the most part, have not been hurt badly by this bulk of rain that they've received. I found a report this morning, which we'll share with you later in the week. It's called 2022's States with the Best and Worst Early Education Systems. So they're talking about like preschool stuff. And I think it's interesting. And once again, I'll just mention that Ohio comes in pretty much in the middle, which I think is neither good nor bad. I think it's in the middle is not awful. Folks, we're out of time. Have a wonderful day. And see, it's going to be 85 today.
In our 72nd year of serving Southeast Ohio, AM 970 and 97.1 FM.
WATH-FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in New York. The U.S. drone strike that killed al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri has intensified global scrutiny of Afghanistan's Taliban leaders. Correspondent Cammy McCormick reports.
The president's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, says the U.S. is communicating directly with the Taliban and insisting it keeps its promises not to harbor terrorists who threaten other countries. And he issued a warning.
We're prepared to take further action to ensure that Afghanistan can never again be used as a basis for attacking Americans.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's plane is headed to Taiwan. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
She still hasn't confirmed that she does indeed intend to visit Taiwan. But Chinese officials once again this morning are warning her not to go, saying, quote, the U.S. side will pay the price for undermining China's sovereign security interests.
Singapore's Kishore Mahbubani, former president of the U.N. Security Council, says
she is only interested in her personal political fortunes, and she's utterly indifferent to the fact that her actions could create the steps towards World War III.
In Pelosi's home state, thunderstorms moving in Northern California, helping crews fight the largest wildfire of the year. It's still burning out of control near the Oregon border. Local Roger Derry trying to absorb the scope of the damage.